around the clock, sports all the time.
Horrible. He's a horrible human being that shouldn't be in the league, is what I believe.
For one final season, live on Penguin Radio, this is the Tailgate.
But, I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cross-country runner to you? Playing against the top tier teams in the nation.
You sure it's not in- top?
Top.
Dude, I love Blake Griffin. I'm not a Clippers fan, but I love Blake Griffin.
The final season of The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein starts right now.
And here we go.
Oh, how's it? Welcome back. Another week, another show. This is the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. Alongside Brock El Capitan Beal, my name is Hunter Hornstein. Brock is to my right. I am right here. And this is the tailgate. Live on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, the official radio home of Dominican University of California. Live from the Penguin Radio studios. The Penguin Radio Studios, Brock, in which that we did not necessarily have full access to as we believed that we did in years past.
Yeah, I think they locked us out. They changed the code for the keys, which would have been fine. No big deal. It's just a four-digit code, but we didn't know. And the fact that we showed up 5 minutes before the show was about to start and we're expecting to just be able to walk in didn't really facilitate that very well.
It didn't happen. We are here, though. We are here. We're ready to go. The tailgate, the best damn tailgate you've ever had. We're an hour-long sports talk show here on Penguin Radio that kind of gives you more of a sarcastic, smart-ass point of view on things. If you're looking for actual sports material, you're not going to get it.
Well, you'll get it today at 9:30. At 9:30, we have Josh Smitty Smith coming in, or calling in, actually, from McMinnville, Oregon. We're going to try to stump him. He probably has some of the greatest sports knowledge of any living person that I know. It's pretty freakish, people.
You and I were talking, and we said that we kind of got to the consensus that he's a walking encyclopedia.
Essentially, but only sports, or like really weird stuff that you don't ever have use for. Like, he couldn't tell you like how to convert kilometers into miles or anything, just because
I wouldn't be able to tell you that either.
I know, but that's like something useful that you'd think somebody would want to memorize.
No. America. Everyone go by our measurements here.
Anyway, we have five questions about the NFL, because obviously the NFL is not going on right now, so we have to talk about football somehow. So we're going to tie that in again. So we're going to five questions for Josh Smith at 9:30 about the history of the NFL and teams in the NFL, and we'll see how good he really is. I have a feeling he's going to have some trouble with these, because I looked these up specifically to try to beat him, because
it is now deep.
A competition.
I went deep
into the archives.
Yeah, okay.
Deep into the archives.
That's Brock Beal right there, looking to stump Mr. Josh Smith. Other than that, that's all we got for you. I know last week, if you had tuned in, you had yourself a great show. RAF Clothing CEOs and CFOs, the Iceman and Ben Ludeman were on the show, as well as Vine Famous and Dominican University graduating senior on the volleyball team, Hannah Stocking. So this week you get Josh Smith.
Yeah, it's a pretty big step down on the famous scale, but on the sports knowledge scale, we take a giant step up, I think.
We
sacrifice knowledge for fame.
We got to make up for last week.
But speaking of last week, and we talked about this coming in, because obviously right now with the NFL draft coming up, Major League Baseball spring training is just getting started. Basketball season's still going. Hockey, all the major sports are either major events are about to happen, or they're in the middle of their season, right? And of course, we had the lovely, always fun Hannah Stocking in here last week.
Beautiful, yeah, Hannah Stocking.
And we were talking about the influence of social media and sports, and how the new invention, or whatever you want to call it, of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Vine, if you will, even at some point.
You could throw all of them
you could throw
out
all
there right
those
now
in,
if you really wanted to.
And how this is affecting athletes today versus how athletes in the past were forced to, you know, really communicate with the media, like reporters or TV, however you want to say it.
Well, I present to you then, let's say you, for example, Ian Kinsler, who's the new second baseman for the Detroit Tigers. He got traded over by the Texas Rangers earlier this offseason. Let's use him for example.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked by ESPN the magazine what he thought about Texas, his old club, his former employees, and he said, quote, "I hope that they go 0-162, obviously referring to losing every single game in the regular season of 2014. Chances are that's not going to happen. But, you know, he said that. He said his GM, his former GM, John Daniels of the Rangers, was a, quote, sleazeball. Now, my question to you, Brock, is if there is no Twitter, no Facebook, no social media for that matter, is this a big deal?
I think it still is. I mean, you just saw the other day Ken Griffey Jr. was interviewed as a Topps baseball employee. They were talking about his
right.
baseball cards and everything coming out. And he was being interviewed on SportsCenter and was being asked very, you know, direct questions that he had a lot of open-endedness to. Really could have taken off and talked about his childhood and, you know, growing up with his dad as being a baseball all-star and having his dad as a baseball card and all this stuff. And he was pretty much limited them to one and two word answers.
Okay.
And I mean, even before social media, with television and newspapers, you still saw like T.O., Terrell Owens, you know, freaking out, you know, all those rants and everything like that. Allen Iverson, none of that stuff was really on social media yet. It really hadn't come out yet. So yeah, it would still be a big deal. But everything is just amplified.
Is it a matter of it getting out quicker?
Absolutely, because you can, you know, get an update on your phone.
I
saw it on my phone before I ever got on
computer. The reason why I asked is because I saw a quote by Bob Costas. He had an interview. I think it was Dan Patrick. I don't know for sure. But he had an interview where Dan basically asked him, let's say it was Dan Patrick. Dan asks him, you know, do you pay attention now with social media to, quote, your haters or everybody that complains about you or points out every single mistake? And he had a good point. He said the same people were saying the same things 10 years, 15, 20 years from now, ago, right? The only reason why they're heard now, though, is because it's so instantaneous that you can put it out on the internet. And in reality, that might be 1% or 2% of the entire population that's saying
right.
that. It's not necessarily the general consensus of thought on him.
Well, and one of the scary things about that is it might be, you know, 1% or 2% of the population, but they're reaching such a high, you know, number of people so quickly that they can actually turn people and persuade people to view the way they think just because they're the first one to say something. You know, if we're in a room of people, let's just go, you know, what most people can understand. If we're in a room of people and something happens and you say your opinion first, most of the time people are going to side with you. And then if I come in, you know, 5 or 10 minutes later and say what I think happened, people go, oh, well, no, Hunter said this. You see what I'm
fair
saying?
Enough,
so it's kind
enough.
Of like a chain reaction. So even though it's a very small group of people that are saying, you know, all these negative things, it just snowballs so quickly. And another thing that really is changing the way sports interact with society is the fact that athletes can now directly contact their fans and
to
be
me,
viewed by their friends.
Part. That's the best part right there.
It's very scary, though, for athletes because you're so transparent. I mean, you see like high school kids, college kids getting ready to go to that next level, and they send out a tweet at 2 a.m. doing God knows what, send out a tweet like, F this school, and they're committed
right.
to that school.
Right.
And now you have all this hoopla and whatever you want to say, like it just ruins everything.
Well, we were very lucky to be in a class last semester with Barry Tompkins, who for
yeah.
those of you guys who don't know who Barry Tompkins is, he does HBO boxing, a big time play-by-play guy, longtime writer, play-by-play broadcaster. Look him up, Barry Tompkins, really, if you want to know who this guy is. But his wife, Joan Ryan, who essentially created her own position with the San Francisco Giants, is kind of a liaison between the new media and media for that matter and the players. Kind of that she's not necessarily on the front office, but she's more of a consultant and the liaison
mm-hmm.
that branches those two. She had a nice quote when she spoke to us saying, she tells the players, listen, I understand you guys are big boys. You guys are professional athletes, but I'm going to tell you right now, do not send a tweet after 11 p.m. because nothing good can come of that.
Yeah, well, nothing good happens after 11:30. You know, if you're trying to uphold a public image, nothing you say after 11:30 at night or before 6 in the morning can possibly help you at all. Either way, one way or the other, it's not going to help, you know? And I think that her position, where she's really training the players on what they can and can't say and really trying to build their public image before they even start camp, you're going to see a lot of teams take off and run with that, you know, because that is becoming such an important issue. There's players now that are going into free agency that are saying, people are saying, well, we're not going to sign them because they have, you know, too many strikes against them already. And it's like, well, if they're a great player, but their only issue is off the field, and they're going to retire at 23 years old or 24 years old.
But isn't that part of the media's problem itself? That's the media's fault. You know, for example, let's say like Michael Sam, for example.
Right.
He is a great football player, is he not?
Yeah.
Great defensive player.
Co-defensive player of the year for the SEC. So, I mean, obviously he's not terrible.
There's a reason for that. Now, everybody's talking about the story on him is not if he's a good football player or how much of an impact he has. It's the fact that he's gay. Okay?
Yeah.
ESPN, the media, whatever, they're going to ride that out till they can't. You know? They're going to do it until they can't ride it anymore. Nobody's going to care at a certain point. At a certain point, the scroller on the bottom, nobody's going to care. By the way, week 8, Michael Sam is still gay. Who gives a damn?
Yeah.
You know? The social media, the instantaneous, though, I feel like that is kind of, that's helped along a little bit by the media. They're going to exploit that to a certain extent.
Yeah, and I think that on his part, not that him coming out is a bad thing, obviously, but he's seen in the last several years the way that people break news and the timing that they use, you know, for example, LeBron and the decision, or instances like that where it's like, okay, did you really need to say that right now? Manti Te'o, you know, last year, that whole catfishing thing with the fake girlfriend right before the draft hurt him. I think Michael Sam was thinking, well, first of all, he did it in an interview, so he knew going into it that he was going to say something. There's no way you go into that and all of a sudden you're on live television in front of millions of people and you go, oh, by the way, I'm gay. You don't just
fair
do
enough,
that. Like,
fair
if
enough.
He's been hiding it, if you will, you know, his whole life and has not said it publicly to the media until that moment,
right?
There's no way he goes into that not knowing that he's going to say something. But now what hurts him is that he's become a story. He has become, you know, he's become a sports center, you know, sidebar.
It's become more than football.
Yeah. But now people are looking at him and saying, well, is he that great? And because they've already burnt out the whole, you know, sexual orientation thing, they've already burnt that out. In the first 2 days, they've already covered every single angle that they can cover on that topic. So now, not only is he gay, but, oh, now he's undersized. Oh, now he's small. Or he's not fast enough to play the defensive end position, or he's not big enough to play the defensive tackle position.
Are you saying, though, that those would not be brought up had he not come out?
I don't think he would be as
scrutinized.
Okay. He's under such a giant microscope right now.
Right.
Just because of one thing that he said.
Yes, that's fair enough.
And I think that now NFL GMs are going to hear that every single day on television.
But is that necessarily fair? Probably not.
Probably
it's not.
No, you absolutely know? Not.
In my opinion, you look at a guy and say, is this a guy that can help us build towards a championship or win a championship?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if he's white, if he's black, if he's a monkey. Can he play a high level of football? If he can win and help you win, sign him up. Who cares what, you know, you should as a GM or as an owner, you should care about if you win or not.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. The only thing that I'm saying is,
But he became such a big deal that now
all of his little tiny faults are now becoming big faults because he is going to be the first openly gay player in the NFL.
Right, and I can say all I want about, oh, you should only see if a guy can win or not. And that might be all good and well, but the fact of the matter is I think you're quite naive if you believe that that's not the culture or the society that we live in right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally changed in the last 5-6 years, you know. Several years ago, when we were in high school, this wasn't even a thing. I remember getting my first Facebook page when I was a junior in high school. I mean, like, that was, you know, 6 years ago.
You were still learning how to do stuff all of a sudden. Now you know. I think I speak for both of us when I say we get our news more from Twitter or Facebook than we do actually watching ESPN. I don't remember the last time we both sat down and actually watched ESPN to get news that we didn't already know.
Well, because now stations like that are covering stories that have already been seen by millions of people. So, you know, you see all the top 10 plays or whatever. you and I have both seen those plays 40 times before we sit down and watch ESPN at 10 o'clock at night or whatever it is.
Yes.
We've already seen all the things that they're talking about. They're just putting in their opinion and their, you know, statements now just to try to sway us one way or another on what we're seeing. But we've already seen it from every different angle just because on my phone I have Instagram, Tinder, Facebook, whatever it may be, Twitter. You've seen it. It doesn't matter.
I don't know if any sports news is coming in Tinder.
You'd be surprised. You get lots of updates.
Is that your opening line there with the
yeah,
matches?
Like, hey, you have any good bets coming up?
Hey, you hear about
you
the Yankees,
bookies?
What they did?
You
hey,
any bookies?
How about them? How about LeBron
what
James?
What horse do you have in the sixth race today? Yeah, that's how I get all my inside leads. It's great.
You know what?
It's the next big tool.
What's kind of scary is that actually might have some traction there.
It might actually. You'd be surprised. I don't know.
You meet up with a girl and she says, "Hey, you want the over under on the Mavericks game?" And you say, "Whoa, all right, okay,
easy money."
Next thing you know, you've got a check for $200 coming your way.
You got to check her sources though, because some people just have no idea what they're saying. Like me, saying Tinder.
Tinder right now, the number one social media network. Even though it's a dating thing, hey, it might revolutionize sports.
It could. In the Olympics, they had a special Tinder for the Olympic Village. Did you see
that? They did. You're right.
For athletes to meet other athletes at the Olympics. Boom. Tying it back in, people. I was going with that the whole time. You don't even know. No, but see, that's just another thing of how social media is changing the world of sports.
They're hooking up athletes.
Just wait. In 16 to 20 years,
there might be potentially, 9 months from now, there might potentially be a super athlete baby conceived because of Tinder at the Winter Olympics.
Oh, I'm guaranteeing you, if you go back 9 months from the Winter Olympics, bionic children are coming. I guarantee it. I'm calling my shot right now. Bionic children. There's going to be some downhill skier that like can go on one ski faster than any person ever, and he's going to be going backwards, and it's not going to matter because both of his parents were at the Sochi Olympics as giant slalom and like a speed racer or something. I don't know.
That's going to be the end of the actual real human race.
Yeah, you that's how
about,
it's going to happen.
You talk about social Darwinism or species
mm-hmm.
evolving.
That's
we're
how
gonna
we
be
evolve.
We're going to be taken over by the Olympic athletes.
So thanks, Tinder. You ruined it for the rest of us. Now my kids are going to be like club players
Your
somewhere.
Your kids are going to be
like,
the JV player, man.
No, they're going to be like the ultimate Frisbee players. Are you kidding me? Look at us. No chance. That's where society is heading because of social media. They've ruined it for everybody. Thank you.
Damn it, Tinder.
Tinder. Joke. Deleting you.
You know they've got a Tinder for airplanes now? You heard about that?
Yeah, where it's just the 200 people inside your...
Inside the airplane? What do you say? You go over to the gal
in
13C and say, by the way, I saw that you were on the Tinder for the skies there. I know this isn't necessarily... We've got 4 hours to go before we get to Washington Dulles, but hey!
200 other people, giant metal container.
It's
let's
a
make
recipe,
some magic.
It's a recipe
let's,
for a
let's
great
dance.
Time.
Let's go.
I mean, you've got time to kill. You might have the red eye.
Do you have a layover in Phoenix? Are you staying for
you
a couple hours?
You trying to go to Australia right now? 14 hours. That 14 gets kind of lonely.
Hey, I get right off the bat, 14-hour flight, making magic, making it happen. But seriously, that's a long shot.
So
200 people on a plane.
No chance. No,
everybody has
no
to
chance.
Have the app, and you all have to be checking it while you're flying. You have to buy the free Wi-Fi.
It's more of the, well, I tell you what, Southwest will go through the roof. They've got that free Wi-Fi on their planes.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, I think it's the novelty of it. They
it
see
is.
The name and they go, oh my God, I can hook, Mile High? Hell yeah. They get on it. Why isn't anybody checking? No,
because
no one's on
nobody's
that
nobody's on that because
come on.
Nobody's as sick and perverted as you are.
People have lives.
I know.
They're doing stuff with their
they
lives. They're
people.
Going to Washington Dulles for an interview for a Fortune 500 job.
They have people on the other end of that flight looking forward to seeing them.
Exactly.
Not looking for you while they're in the middle of the air.
You see that rock on her finger? Move along, buddy. Move
Slide
along.
Slide it on down.
Come on.
Back of the bus. You're all the way down in 24D. Get back.
You got the bunkhead for a reason, son. She's in first class. You're listening to The Tailgate on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We got a break coming up. When we come back, we'll talk a little more sports, whatever we find on our online. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, search us at the, T-H-E-D-U, the letter D, the letter U, Tailgate. Find us on Twitter. Go ahead and interact with us. Have fun. Let's go. Let's make this a
Apparently
party.
You can find us on Tinder too. I don't know. If we have any cute listeners out there, Tinder away.
Go ahead. Go wild. Go ahead. If you're an Olympic athlete, by the way, definitely, yeah. Please.
I don't want my children to be left behind in the next generation.
Keep it right there. Find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/thetailgate. When we come back, 9:30, which is a little bit from now, we've got Josh Smitty Smith on the air. He's calling in all the way from the Pacific Northwest, and it should be a good one. We're going to play a little game called Stump Smitty, and this kid is an encyclopedia, and if we do stump him, that's going to be a big deal. So you won't want to miss that. Again, Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein, this is the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. Live on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Now, girl, I know you're used to the same old same, but we ain't floating that boat, no, we ain't riding that train. Hop on my rocket ship and let's get out of here. Let me put a little shimmer in your atmosphere. Now, let's get out of this town, out of this club, girl, whatever you're sipping, I'ma mix it up. Take a few TikToks off of your clock, put a little Third Rock in your hip hop. I got that 1994 Jordan, if you're coming out for radio. I'm just a country boy with a farmer's tan, so help me, girl, I'll be a pickup man. I'm not a night to remember and I fed the goose. About to bust out my honky tonk attitude. Little feel good, you ain't before. I'm talking 1994. Hey, Joe Dippy. Girl, don't you worry, none. Your ship just came in, so go on and tell your mama, tell all your friends that your new favorite color is John Deere green. Hop in this truck, aka time machine. 1994, Jordan, if you're coming out the radio, I'm just a country boy with a farmer's tan, so help me, girl, I'll be your pickup man. How about a night to remember and I fed the goose, about to bust out my honky-tonk attitude, little feel good you ain't ever felt before, I'm talking 1994, hey, Joe.
Hey, welcome back. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, the official home of Dominican University of California Radio, live internet streaming radio, which...
Oh, we're live. Oh, I was tindering.
We are live.
I'm sorry.
Are you tindering?
Right, I was not, but I could be. It's everywhere.
Did you find did you find Michael Phelps?
I didn't. Damn. I wish. I want that the Norwegian snowboarder that we were talking about last
week. Good call.
Match her real quick.
Well done.
Absolutely.
Very good call. On the telephone right now via our high speed telephone thing. I don't know. Whatever.
It's a telephone.
Josh.
It's a landline.
I tried to make it more than it actually was. Josh Smith is live on the other side of the line. Josh Smitty is a walking encyclopedia, so to speak, on sports. Josh, how are you? Smitty.
Josh.
Smitty.
He's partially deaf. You have to be aware of that.
Smitty!
Josh.
So Josh might be gone.
I'll text him.
Tell him to call in again.
I'll tell him.
Let's try this again. Here,
he's very impatient.
Turn me off hook real quick on our thing. Our producer, Sean Donahue, is not in the studio right now.
God.
And this is what happens when he's not here. We have no idea what's going on. I'm looking at these buttons going, what the hell am I doing?
Well... I've never even used the buttons. You're the one that's always on the buttons.
Anyway, let's talk about Josh Smith a little bit. He played Linfield, right?
Yeah, he played college football at Linfield, and he was one of my best friends at Camas, and he also played football there. He was like a 3 or 4 sport athlete. Oh, hang on 1 second. Ready?
Josh, you there?
Josh?
Joshy?
Josh? Joshy Poo?
Joshy.
I'm getting...
We got nothing on Josh, do we?
No, he is texting me saying he can't hear us, so we will continue on as planned.
All right. Well, Josh, if we can't hear you, man. He's cutting out early.
I guess.
A little LeBron James action.
He is in Nick Minville. The service up there is a little sketchy for a landline even, so I don't know.
We might not even have Josh. We might not. I mean, we didn't have a contingency plan after this.
Oh, we've got stuff. I don't know what we've got, but we've got stuff.
We going back to Tinder?
No, we're not going back to that ever, ever again. No.
Oh, Josh Smith. Come on, buddy. Help us out. We got people listening all the way in Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Daniel Kramer. I mean, we've got people all over right now listening to us, counting on this show to brighten
this
up their Thursday night.
What people listen to for sports knowledge, and specifically, hopefully, NFL history knowledge. Okay, it's a big topic. People need to know about it. It's one of the highest grossing independent companies in the world. So, people want to hear about it. And our expert is not on the line at all.
Are you surprised, though, really?
I'm really not. I mean, look, we were locked out of the studio this evening. We couldn't get into our seats because we were locked out.
We were screwed from the very beginning.
You know, it was an omen. We should have just gone home. I have to be up at like 3:15. I've packed. I have my underwear. I have my socks. Toothbrush, toothpaste, packed, good to go.
You realize the East Coast is about 25 degrees right now.
Yeah, I know. I have my sweatpants and my sweatshirt. I needed to go buy some long johns or some flannels
that'll
or something.
Help. Yeah, your sweatshirt.
Yeah, no, it's going to be cold. It was like literally 26 degrees in St. Louis today, where we're going in like 8 days.
Oh, my.
It's not going to be...
It's not ideal.
No, it's not going to be good. It's going to be real cold. But, you know, we're gonna troop through it.
For those of you guys who are listening, I have no idea what we're talking about. Brock Beal is the captain of the lacrosse team as a senior. 4 years as a Penguin, and they have made a lot of strides. I have no idea where I'm going with that one, by the way.
I don't either.
So we're just going to keep talking. Hey, why don't we go into our let's go into our Deadspin fun bag here and find out what's going on.
Deadspin? Okay, so... Speaking of social media, this is one of those things that got blown up huge. All right, Aaron Hernandez, everybody heard about that being charged. He's also going to be charged. He's in prison right now, by the way.
Oh, that's what Aaron Hernandez is doing nowadays.
Yeah, not catching footballs. He's in prison. He has been charged with fighting inmates. So apparently he likes to tumble a little bit in jail because... Yeah, what do you do if you're in jail and you get charged for a crime while you're in jail? Do they just...
I think they just tab it on.
They just
tack
it on there. So now assault.
Just add that to my tab there. We'll have
So assault plus double homicide. Like, and he's spending 23 hours of a day in solitary because of this now for 30 days. So 23 hours a day for a month.
What do you do with yourself in solitary for that long?
Start counting the paint chips on the walls. There's not even ceiling tiles because it's all concrete.
You know, they didn't let him listen to any of the Patriots games or any football games for that matter.
Yeah,
it's
not, you can't do that in
prison. Oh, my goodness. How do you live with yourself if that's your life for that however many years, and then you go and kill a couple of people, and all of a sudden it's taken away from you?
All you do is go and murder two people and, like, bury their bodies in a lake, but, you know, no big deal. But yeah, I mean, it's something that we kind of take for granted, I think, because, you know, think about if your favorite sports team... Oh, here we go. We're going again. We're going live. Ready?
Try again. We're going to try again right here.
1, 2, 3.
Smitty, you there?
I can hear him a little bit.
I can hear him in the
headphones.
Is
there anything on here that I can do?
Here, why don't we... Smitty, keep talking. Just continue to talk.
So we can hear... He can hear us, but we can't hear him. Keep talking, Josh. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Woo! We got it.
Hey, look at that. We figured it out.
Pressing buttons. Pressing random buttons always gets the job done.
But see,
nobody really knows
that that's all we did is
we just started turning knobs and pressing buttons, and look at us.
Smitty,
funny how that works out.
Smitty is a...
that's Josh's go-to. Just start pushing buttons and stuff. No idea what's going on.
Smitty is a walking encyclopedia, and he joins us now live here on the tailgate, radio.dominican.edu, for Stump Smitty. Josh, I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but, you know, we kind of hyped you up a little bit, so the pressure's on.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling it. I've been trying to study some things all day after we've had our discussion this morning, so we'll see how this goes.
All right, I just want you to know that if you don't get at least half right, there's five of them, so if you don't get at least three right, I'm not going to let you live this one down for a long time.
I know. I don't think my family will, or any of the people listening out there will let me know. I won't personally let myself live it down either.
Okay, good, because you know for a fact that I'm calling your dad as soon as this is over, and I'm letting him know how you do.
Huge. Yeah, he's not going to be too pleased. So hopefully I can make him proud on this one.
All right, so if you were listening earlier, we have some trivia for you, and it's all about NFL history.
Okay.
Because the NFL is so relevant in today's sporting world with no games being played or anything like that. So we're just going to talk sports. We're going to talk football anyway, so it's all good.
Understandable.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, here's Stump Smitty.
Josh Smith, two of the original NFL teams are still in existence. Under different names, but they are still in existence. What are the two oldest remaining NFL teams?
NFL teams, or you want to go back to the professional football days before there was an NFL?
Current franchises that were the two of the original NFL teams that are currently still playing.
One of them is the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
And let's see.
Fun fact, the Chicago Bears started as the Decatur Staleys. I don't know what that is, but that's what they were, and now they're the Chicago Bears.
And, wow, let's see.
Do you want a hint? I will give you a hint.
No, it's on the tip of my tongue. I gotta think about it.
I'm surprised
you get this.
This is one of the hardest ones. No big deal. You just got it. The Bears.
They were founded in 1919 as two of the original NFL teams in
1919. Wasn't it the Cardinals?
The Chicago Cardinals. Thank you very much. All right. Wow. Okay. I should have given him the date.
Oh, all right.
They were in St. Louis and they moved to Arizona, and then the Rams went from LA to St. Louis. So that's how that all worked out. All
right, well, there you go. That's actually more knowledge, and that's actually on the thing later. So thank you very much. All
right. Smitty is a perfect 2 for 2 so far. Let's see if you can get number 3. Josh, which team entered the league in 1921?
1921?
1921.
2-1. Jeez. Wow, that is old.
They're the only franchise to have never changed cities.
The only one I can think of is Green Bay.
Oh my God!
That would be correct. You are correct, sir. Green Bay. Green Bay Packers, 1921. They're the third oldest team in the league currently.
3-4-3, Josh Smitty.
Back when the Detroit Lions were known as the Spartans, what city were they located in? They moved to Detroit in 1934 from this city.
When they were known as what? Can you repeat that again?
They were the Spartans.
Oh, jeez.
They were the Spartans of blank city. They moved to Detroit in 1934 and became the Lions.
It starts with a P. It's Pottsville or something like that.
Josh, I wish you could have just seen the face, the look that Brock Beal gave
you
right now.
You are so close. You are right on the money. It's just you're just not putting the right words together. But you are.
I can see it in my head. Do you know what state
it would have been in?
Yeah, I can't get it.
Portsmouth, Ohio.
Okay.
But that's pretty good.
That is one I'll never remember or never forget at this point.
Okay, there you go. You just learned something new. I just taught you something. You're welcome.
3-4
but
right now.
But he said it starts with a P and
close.
It's like pot something.
He was very close.
Very close.
Well, done.
I get a half a point for that?
You get a half a point.
We'll give him 3.5 out of 4 right there.
All right, so the Boston Braves, an old NFL team, entered the league in 1932.
Yeah.
What is their current name and city? They're still in the league, but they've changed.
Washington Redskins.
Yeah, that's right.
Easy.
I don't like you very much.
Easy.
But good job.
Easy.
Right. I don't know. I don't know why I would have thought he would have missed that one.
Hey, Josh.
He's getting this one for sure.
Josh, here's the last one. If you get this one, we'll give you that full point, and we'll give you on the first.
The last one that we have here, I thought was going to be the easiest one because this is his team.
Yeah, this is his team, and I'm looking at it right now, and I know you're going to get this here. So for a perfect 5-for-5 on the first Stump Smitty here, Josh.
Yeah.
What city did the Rams franchise begin in 1937?
Okay. Oh, I got to go back in time. I'll reverse the timeline.
Walk us back with you.
Remember, they moved. What city did they begin in, the Rams? They moved to L.A. in 46.
Okay, so The Rams, they're in St. Louis now. They've been in L.A., went to L.A. from there. I'm trying to think. What year did you say again that they moved?
So what city did the Rams franchise begin in? This was in 1937. Then they moved from this city to L.A., in 1946.
For a little background, the owner of the Rams at that time actually threatened to cancel the team because they
were. Can you say that last bit of it again, Brock?
The owner, when they were trying to move to LA from this city, actually threatened the NFL to cancel the Rams franchise as a boycott because he didn't want to be in this city and they weren't going to let him move to LA because at that time, no NFL franchise was on the West Coast because the Rams were the first franchise on the West
Coast. That really doesn't help, to be honest with you.
I'm just trying to give you some background knowledge here, man.
I appreciate that, but...
There is currently an NFL franchise in this city right now that they moved from.
So then it's got to be in the Midwest because that's where football originated professionally.
That is correct.
Look at him dropping.
So that only leaves, what, Cincinnati or Cleveland. So
yep,
I'll go with
one of those two.
It's one of those two?
Yep.
I think we'll go with Cleveland.
Yay!
That is correct. The fact that you could walk it back to where professional football originated is remarkable, sir. I applaud you. And because of that, we're going to give you 5 for 5. Just because you knew
that.
Where professional football began, I would not have known.
Josh,
I would have had no idea.
Smitty Smith. Well done,
that
sir.
That was stressful. You guys had me thinking.
I know.
Fully.
I'm pretty sure he has his laptop open right now, but it's okay.
I do not.
I know. I believe you.
So this is a test of my own fortitude.
Good,
Josh.
We know that's so high already.
Josh, I'm quite impressed, really.
Thank you.
Where did this come from? Where did this kind of this knowledge?
Gift. It's a gift. Let's call it what it is. It's a gift.
I get asked this quite a bit, actually. I don't know. My dad was big into this kind of sports trivia knowledge where you just kind of read or see something once on TV or in the newspaper, and it just kind of sticks in your head. You never kind of forget it. So, I don't know. I guess I read a lot growing up, and that was about it.
And you're currently studying to become a social studies teacher. Is that correct? Middle school teacher?
That is correct.
They're going to let you teach kids. I'm going to say this on the air. Whoever hires you, that is a bad idea. Do not hire him to teach your children. All he wants to do is coach football. We know this. It's a fact. All he wants to do is coach children. That's it. Teaching is like movies for him. He just straight through the day. Straight through the day. Am I wrong? Oh, he doesn't want to answer.
He
doesn't want to incriminate himself on that one.
Josh, I got to ask you. You're a big Seattle fan, sports fan there. With the impending baseball season coming up, you got to feel pretty good about Robinson Cano up with the Seattle Mariners, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It's about time that, you know, the Mariners are able to get someone with a little bit of name recognition, especially in the lineup. I think the value of his contract would be worth it. I know that the back end will be a little bit hard with how much money he's getting paid and how old he is, but if he brings even just one or two more big-name bats to that lineup, it'll be completely worth it.
Is there any concern that he turns into an Albert Pujols of the Pacific Northwest?
I mean, of course. I mean, I know for a fact that you know that, having seen it the last two off seasons with Pujols and Hamilton, but...
How bad?
I don't know. I know one thing that Cano brings is, you know, he's in the lineup every day, 160-plus games a year. His glove is Gold Glove quality, so, you know, even if the bat isn't quite what it lived up to when he was playing in New York, if he brings other parts to the game that maybe this young lineup in Seattle hasn't had in many years, you know, we'll see.
So
hopefully he can benefit it in other ways.
So obviously hindsight, you know, it is what it is, but how bad of a deal was the Pujols-Hamilton deal for I just want to hear it from
a
non-biased opinion.
It's
expert.
Hard to say that I'm not biased in this situation because I hate the Angels.
Move on. Move on. It's been 2 years.
You're the one that's
cut
all
the
angry.
Cord.
I'm just trying to, you know, piss you off a little bit. There's nothing wrong with the co-host trying to piss off his other co-host.
But no, I mean, Pujols is still a great player. I mean, people don't understand that.
Is he, though?
Yes. Has he quite lived up to the contract? Probably not. But to say that he is a useless player now is a complete asinine argument.
Ooh, that's a vocab word of the week right there.
Right there, Smitty. Did you just black out there using that word?
I don't know. It just came to me, kind of like one of those answers in the previous question. It just showed up, and I had to say it.
The fact that the first question about the oldest teams, the fact that you knew right off the bat that it was Chicago Bears, just like blows my mind. I would not even know where to begin with that. So that's cool.
And well, you just gotta remember. Now you know. It's just it started out professionally, mainly in the Midwest. There, so
there you go. And actually, the Cardinals actually were the Chicago Cardinals. So there you go. That proves it again. Boom. You've got your stuff all lined up, man. I like it. I like where your head's at.
He doesn't know what to do with that compliment right there.
He doesn't. I don't give him compliments very often, so it's very few and far between.
Cutting in and out.
Okay.
So when I'm not answering, it's partially because I can't hear you.
He's blaming us
now. I told
you
he's like half deaf, so he can't hear anything.
Well, that too. That doesn't help the situation.
hey, Smitty, give us some predictions of what you see not only in the baseball world, but also I want to know your thoughts. Where does Champ Bailey end up in the NFL?
Champ Bailey, I read somewhere today that he says he's not retiring. He doesn't want to retire. So honestly, if he thinks he's got some miles left on his legs, so be it. Who's going to tell with the guy of Champ Bailey's caliber that he's done? You know, I think some team out there, maybe an older team with that needs a little bit of defensive back help, could pick him up and, you know, give him a look through camp and see how much he's got left. What a magnificent career he's had already. So I know that I figure it. You know, he's just trying to go out with that ring. He's been close, especially this past year, but I think he's got one or two more years left in him to prove to a winning franchise that he's the missing piece to take them over the top.
And people were actually commenting and mentioning that the San Francisco 49ers would be a good fit for him because they do struggle in the defensive backfield a little bit.
Yeah.
And how ironic would that be if he loses to Seattle in the Super Bowl and then has to play him twice every year?
It'd probably be a good fit for them. I know they've always, in the past few years, off seasons looked at defensive help, especially in the defensive backfield. So, you know, maybe Champ Bailey's a guy, if the numbers of the salary of the contract fit, that, you know, they could be a fit for them. So we'll see.
Josh. Josh, take it or leave it, Devin Hester to the 49ers.
Devin Hester. Wow, that's an interesting proposition there. He is, it's at this point in his career, he doesn't have quite that elite sprinter speed that he had when he first came into the league, but he's still very dynamic. But the other thing is you've seen over his career now, he's kind of a one-trick pony. He's really only got the return game. So,
well, I'd caution you and say that you've got 5 fumbles to 1 touchdown in this past season. He's going to be commanding the kind of money. He's going to be asking for the money of where he was a few years ago as opposed to what he is right now. Personally, I think that you don't go ahead and do that, but you know, with the 49ers being so close, and I know you're a Seattle guy and you don't want to talk about San Francisco too much, but with them being so close and being almost that one piece away, don't you think that it's worth a gamble on this point?
Well, I feel like right now that the 49ers are kind of all hands on deck. They're old. They're getting older. Seattle's not going away in that division. The Cardinals and the Rams are both young and up and coming, so I feel like, you know, the window for the Niners to make a final push is, you know, closing. So it's all hands on deck. If they feel that, you know, Champ Bailey or Devin Hester is a piece that can put them over the hump, I believe that's what they're going to do.
And because you mentioned the Rams, and I know you're they're your team, and I know that if you could literally bleed Rams colors, you would. Who do you hope they take for their number one pick this year in the draft? If you had to pick somebody, could take anybody.
I have fallen completely in love with that Sammy Watkins kid, the receiver.
Yeah, from Clemson?
Yeah.
He's a monster.
I know that the Rams franchise feels like they're kind of set with what they have at receiver, considering they traded a lot of picks to get Tavon Austin last year, but man, what I've seen from that kid and read about him, I feel like he's going to be one of the better young receivers in the league sooner rather than later.
Do you think that he's going to fall that far down? The Rams have the, what, fourth or fifth pick?
They picked number 2 from the Washington Redskins and number 13
okay.
from their own.
That's
pick.
Right. They traded for RG3. That's correct. Okay.
Yeah,
so
the
they
Rams
could
are still
they could they could still
RG3
get him.
Trade 3 years ago.
That's paying off pretty well for them, I feel like.
Smitty, one last question before we let you go, and we're going to switch gears a little bit to baseball, seeing as opening day is just around the corner. I want to know who makes the playoffs in both leagues. Who are your division winners, and who are making it as the wild card winners?
Okay, so I like the A's to win the West. I just think they have young talent up and down the lineup. Cespedes is a stud. That pitching rotation is good. They shored up the back end of that bullpen with Jim Johnson, so they'll continue to play well. The Tigers have Joe Nathan now to shore up the ninth inning, which has plagued them for the last few years. Boston doesn't look like they're going anywhere. They're getting younger. And then the two wild cards, we're looking at Texas and Tampa Bay. I think the Yankees just miss out this year, even though that Tanaka guy was pitching pretty well in spring training. And then in the National League, look like the Dodgers to win the West. Let's see, we'll go with give me the Pirates to win the Central and the Braves to win the East, with the Cardinals and the Giants as wild cards.
Wow, all right. Who's your World Series winner?
I think this is the year Detroit finally does it.
Really? Who's Detroit?
Yeah.
Who's Detroit beat?
Yeah, I mean, if Joe Nathan can pitch like he's been pitching and stays healthy, I mean, that's crucial in the back end there in the ninth. And you know that Scherzer and Porcello and Verlander are going to be just as dominant as they have been the last few seasons.
Who did the Tigers beat in the World Series?
In the World Series?
Yeah.
I'll go with the Dodgers just to piss Hunter off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good. You're learning. All right. All jokes aside, you could write that down right now. I'm going to go put money on Detroit right now after the show because I trust this guy. So if he says they're winning, you might as well just put it in the books right now. I mean, you saw the history knowledge that he dropped. I mean, it's automatic. So your Angels are screwed again this year. Sorry. He didn't even pick them for anything.
You know what? That's okay. As long as we got Joe Blanton in front of the rotation, I think we'll be all right. Hey, Josh, thanks a lot for calling in, man, and it was a lot of fun playing Stump Smitty. Obviously, we can't stump you. You're too much. You're too much for us, man.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting me on. It's been way too much fun. I love doing this, so hopefully we can do it again. Would like to give a special shout-out to Big Bob Nix, who is listening and cheering me on.
Love that guy.
His home up in Washington.
Love that guy. Great guy.
Fantastic. Hey, Josh, thanks a lot for joining us, man. We'll hear you again very soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, love you, Smitty. See you, bud.
Great guy.
What a guy.
What a guy.
Tremendous sports knowledge. You know what, though? We were talking about baseball. You know what the best part about me going to Australia this summer is?
You don't have to see baseball.
I don't have
yeah,
to watch baseball
up.
At all.
Yeah.
I get to not watch none of it. It's going to be perfect.
You know they have an Australian baseball league, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that.
When we come back, the final 5 minutes
it's
of the
cricket.
Tailgate. Yeah, shut up. Last 5 minutes of the tailgate. We'll get Brock's thoughts on today's show. You're listening to Beal and Ornstein live on Penguin Radio.
Every time I hear
All right. I want to thank Josh Smitty Smith for joining us on the tailgate for Stump Smitty, and he really is a human encyclopedia. Brock, you sent him a text saying that he is not human.
I honestly, like, I have complete faith in that guy when it comes to that kind of stuff, and I looked for a solid, like, 2 hours on stuff that I was, like, I was blown away that this was even a fact that they could keep on stuff like that, and he nailed them, all of them. Like, it was nothing.
You,
like,
gave
he had
him
to
maybe,
think about it, but yeah, that was, like, nothing.
You gave him maybe one hint, and he was like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah, it was like,
it
oh.
It was pretty good.
Unreal.
Not
so,
bad.
Josh, thank you for, you know, calling in and boosting our credibility a little bit on the show. I mean, that was unreal.
This is the best damn tailgate that you've ever had. The tailgate with Brock Beal, that's the guy to my right, El Capitan, who's also on the LAX team. My name's Hunter Hornstein, and Brock is getting ready. He's got an early morning tomorrow. The rest of him and his teammates are going back east, and Brock, first road trip of the season here for you.
Yeah, it's a big one too, you know. We're looking to go to the tournament this year, and to do that, we pretty much have to win out all of our games. So this road stretch, 4 games in 9 days starting Saturday, will really be huge for our season. Basically, every game is make or break at this point, but very, very confident going in. Not cocky, but confident, you know.
Always.
And yeah, so if you guys, anybody listening, would like to actually watch or listen to the game on Saturday against Queens University in Charlotte, North Carolina, you can go to the Dominican Lacrosse Facebook page, and there's a live stream link that you can watch or click on and watch. I believe it's a video. The game is 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, and the link on the Dominican Lacrosse Facebook page will take you straight there. If not, it is on mobile.stretchinternet.com, and I believe you just look up Queens University, and you should be able to watch the game. So if anybody out there wants to support the Penguins on their East Coast road trip and you can't actually make it to the East Coast because I know it's a little bit far, you can watch us online. So please tune in, and if you see me screw up, you can heckle me, but if you see me score a goal, you got to clap. So there you go. That's my two bits.
Brock Beal and the Penguins going back east, so the best of luck to them, as well as best of luck to the basketball teams.
Yeah, they start tomorrow, right?
The PacWest tournament.
Absolutely.
Down in San Diego.
The women are actually playing right now, I believe. Their game is going on right now.
We gotta find out how they're doing. So big Penguin news all the way around. Hey, Brock, last 55 seconds left of the show. Number 2 in the books on our Fellwar farewell tour here in 2014. Your thoughts on tonight?
I mean, my only two thoughts are anytime we can get Josh Smith on the phone and talk about Olympic tenders, that's a win. That's a win, ladies and gentlemen. So you heard a good one tonight. What about you? What do you think?
I would just say, you know, we got to think of harder questions to ask Josh.
I know.
You know?
We should have. If Sean was here, he could have been looking up stuff the whole time and just been spitfiring them at us. But, you know, he's probably asleep. We got to be up in about 6 hours and on a bus. So he's probably asleep. Good for him.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Can't wait. I got to go pack my underwear still.
Hey, for Brock Beal, my name is Hunter Hornstein. This has been the best damn tailgate that you've ever listened to. Every Thursday night, 9 to 10 o'clock. Next week, we are off because Brock is back east on assignment, and it's also spring break.
Spring break!
You get a week off from Team Tailgate, but we'll hear you in about 2 weeks from now. Right here, same time, same place, same two guys. Want to thank Josh Smith for calling in. A lot of fun today. And everyone, make sure you wish Brock Beal a best of luck via Facebook and Twitter at the DU Tailgate. That's it. That's all she wrote. Number 2 in the books. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You guys have yourself a great weekend and a great spring break. Team Tailgate out.